come up and give money to a natural disaster or to some kind of relief for disease or hunger or things like that, there is something about it that reminds us that things in this world are not as they ought to be. That there are things wrong in this world all over the place that we recognize that they just aren't right. It's not right that people suffer from hunger. It's not right that hurricanes cause so much disaster in places that seem the most incapable of handling such a disaster. And there's all sorts of other worldly examples we can look at too that we know that things aren't quite right. Maybe for you it's the election, and even if you voted for the guy that won, it still might feel like things just aren't as they ought to be. For myself, I look at the Minnesota Vikings and I think, well, certainly things aren't ought as they ought to be. But there's all sorts of other things in this world, things that are more serious. Like I said, the fact that charities exist at all tells us that things in this world just aren't quite right. That there's racial tensions throughout the world, and we've seen this a lot, even in our own state now. No matter where we stand on whatever issue, we can look at it and say still that things aren't as they ought to be. We can even look at our own bulletin and look at our list of people that we're praying for and all the people there that we've been praying, some of them for quite a while. We look at the list, and maybe you don't even know this, but I count 3 children in our prayer list. 3 very young children suffering from things that they shouldn't have to suffer from. And we look at this and we say, that's not right. It's not how it ought to be. Something is wrong. And it went wrong at the very beginning, didn't it? I'd like to read to you from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. This is at the end of creation, after God has made the land and the seas and the fish and the birds, the animals, sun, moon, all of it. And after all that, he makes humankind. And God says this, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. At the very beginning, when everything was just as it was supposed to be, God capped off his creation by making man and woman, and he made them in his image. To be a reflection of who God is upon this earth. Not to be God, but to represent him, having dominion over all of creation, but also representing God and God's holiness and God's righteousness. All the good things that God is, they were supposed to reflect upon the earth. God brought order into chaos, but then Adam and Eve brought chaos into order. You know the story. They were deceived by Satan. They ate a piece of fruit that they were not supposed to eat. The one thing they were not supposed to do in all of creation, they did. Simply reflecting the image of God was not good enough for them. They wanted to be gods. And in their disobedience, in their rebellion, that image was corrupted. It was lost to some degree. It became diseased. Humanity no longer was righteous or holy, and so every aspect of how they control and have dominion over creation has been upset ever since. Things no longer are how they ought to be, because we, as image bearers of the Lord, are stained and tainted. It's like a broken mirror. It doesn't look right anymore. And so then we can look to our own lives, and we can look at things in our lives and see, well, that's not how it ought to be either. We can maybe look at our marriages and how we treat our spouse, how we love or don't love our spouse, and say, that's not right. Or how we relate to our children and to the rest of our family and see, this isn't how it's supposed to be. We go to bed ashamed by how we behave and act around certain people, and we just know it isn't right. We see in ourselves lies, we see in ourselves deceit, wandering hearts and eyes and minds. And in this we know that to some degree we are under the authority and the power, the dominion of darkness. This is how Paul talks about us in our second reading from Colossians, that we were in fact under the power of darkness, living in the domain of darkness. But Paul tells us that Jesus did something about this. God looked at his image and saw that it was broken, that it was corrupt, and decided from the very beginning, I'm going to do something about this. Well, so then God the Father sends us his Son. Look at verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1 with me. God the Father has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God sent his Father, Jesus Christ, to rescue us, to do something for his broken image, those who bore his image. And he did so by sending his Son to re-image the image, to fully embody what it means to be the image of God. And we see this again in Colossians 1:15. We hear about Jesus Christ, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Verse 19 tells us that in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God looked at his creation, at Adam and Eve, and at every human being that would be born after into the image of Adam and not into the image of God, and put forth a plan. He would bring his Son to this earth to bear our flesh, and in that flesh show us what the image of God is. And in that image, he would go then to the cross to die for his people, that in belief in his name and belief in what Christ has done for you, you can be restored. You can be forgiven. And that image that you bear then can be remade and reclaimed. So that now as I look upon you, the church, I can see people who bear the image of God once again, who represent Christ to this world once again. Through Jesus, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, as Colossians says, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross of Christ. Through Christ and his cross, you are at peace with God. And you are a new image. And as a recreated image, claimed by Christ, forgiven by and through Jesus, You are made new each and every day. You might go to bed in shame, but you wake up knowing that your sins are forgiven. And that just as Christ's mercies are new each day, so are you. New and refreshed, forgiven to be a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better son and daughter, a better citizen of our land, more loving person to those around you and to your neighbor, to those that you then represent Christ to. God has reclaimed you so that we can see something that ought not to be and do something about it, like have a thank offering, to send money to those who are suffering in Haiti, or to bring food on behalf of those who are hungry in our own community, and certainly in all this, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear Him, who need to be forgiven and be made right before God their Father. Let us pray. All gracious Lord, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of God dwells, and in whom we can see the fullness of who God is. Restore us each and every day to new life in you. Remind us each and every morning of our forgiveness that we have in you and the life that you have given us. Life eternal, but life also to live today in service to you, reflecting your image once again upon a broken world, serving those close to us and those away, neighbors everywhere. We pray this in your name. Amen.